If you're a teacher, could you come and join us at the front here? So children, you need to be sitting down on the floor here and facing the front. And all the children need to take one of these. So maybe some of the grown-ups can help. The children all have one of those. And all the grown-ups need to take a candy key, one of these hearts each. So do you want to pass those round? Let's make sure people can come through, otherwise we're going to have a complete traffic jam. Do come to the front here. Children, make a way through for the grown-ups to come and stand up here at the front. Up here, that's it. All will become clear soon. All will become clear. John, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's chaos. It's quite fun though, isn't it? Come up to the front. And I'm going to speak from the front here. And the rest of you, you should have your Bibles open. They're not to be on your foreheads. Can you please keep them off your foreheads for the moment? All will become clear. Well, let's have God's Word open. So the rest of you turn to page 1184 and check that what I'm saying is coming with the authority of God, because it's His Word, that it's from His Word. And let's just pray, shall we, that because He's alive, the Lord Jesus is alive, and He's with us this morning, that He would be the one that we're most conscious of. So let's just pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are risen from the dead, that you are with us this morning as you promised to be with your people. Please speak to help us to please you and love you more, we pray, for your glory. Amen. Well, some slides coming up on the screen up above me. When you come to church, boys and girls, who do you come to church for? Do you come to please your All Saints Club leaders? Because you really love to meet your All Saints Club leaders. And you come with thankful hearts. You're not grumbling first thing in the morning when there's that opportunity to come to church. Oh no, I would love to go and see my All Saints Club leaders. Or imagine when you're at home and your parents tell you to do something that you don't want to do. Do you say, oh yes, I would love to obey my parents. I'd really love to do what they want me to do. Is that what it's like? Or maybe you go to school and your teacher tells you to do some homework if you're at school. And you think, oh, I'd love to do homework. There's nothing better than homework. I just can't wait to get home and do my homework. Is that what it's like? No. Of course it's not like that. Why is that? You see, the reason why it's like that is because we want to live for me, me, me. That's what we're like. We want to live for me, 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 and what I want to do. But you see, there's a problem with that. Because God is holy. And He's made us to live for Him. And we shouldn't live for anybody else but Him. That's why He's made us. And you know what the Bible word is for people who live for me, me, me. Don't worry, you're not the only ones. I'm like that as well. And all the grown-ups are like that as well. The Bible calls it sin. So we should be on to the sin slide now, if it's working. And we know what sin is. It says, shove off God, I'm in charge and no to your rules. But do you know what? That's what we think about these people in our lives. Our carers. Or mums and dads. Or our All Saints Club leaders. Or our teachers at school. That's what we think about them. Shove off. I'm in charge. I don't want to do what you tell me to do. That's what we're like, isn't it? On to the next slide. But the good news is that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us for being like that. He took the punishment so that we can live for Him. And the great, great news is that we are joined to Jesus' life. It's not just that we've got to try really, really hard. Because we've trusted in what Jesus has done, we can live for Him. We can do everything for Jesus. Now, we're going to get... Are you ready with some stickers? Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to stick the crown on the relevant person. Okay, your parent or carer, or your All Saints Club leader, or somebody who does stuff in All Saints Club, or a teacher. You'll have to find out which the teachers are. Okay, so can we make sure that in a moment, all these grown-ups have got a crown on their foreheads. They didn't realise that that's what was going to happen, but that is what's going to happen. And what they're going to give you is a Candy King heart. Because we've got somebody better than Candy King, haven't we? We've got the loving rule of the Lord Jesus, a loving King, much better than sweets. But He blesses us through the people through whom he rules in our lives. So we're just going to think about this. So teachers, who are the teachers here? Do you just want to sort of signal who are the teachers? See, when we go to school and we think, I don't want to do what my teacher tells me to do, what can we do? Because we're Christians. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, not for people, since you know that from the Lord you will receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So as we do what our teachers want us to do, actually we're blessed and we will receive an inheritance in heaven because we know that we're going there because we trusted in Jesus. So how many teachers do we have? One, perhaps three or four. Three or four people. Do you want to come up and put the crown on your teacher's or the teacher's foreheads and receive a little candy king, which they should give you. Off you go. One, three or four. Three or four, otherwise it's going to be... Now, in a minute, you're going to go to your parent or your carer, but this is just for teachers. Hands up. Teachers need to put their hands up. Okay, and you need to go and put... That's it. Fantastic. Off you go. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. I think we just need to keep going. Okay? And then, when it comes to your parents, and your parents tell you to do something you don't want to do, do you know what it says in the Bible? Children, obey your parents in everything. Can you imagine that? In everything. For this does what? Pleases the Lord. So do you want to find your parent or carer and go and put a crown on them and then get a candy king? Oh, thank you very much, Lizzie. Oh, I haven't got one. Okay, here we go. There you go. Do you want to make sure everybody gets one of those? And then, on to the next slide. When you come to All Saints Club, or you're about to come to church and your mum and dad are telling you to come to church, you're thinking, I don't want to come to church. And then you go to All Saints Club and they're telling you to look at the Bible and you're thinking, I don't want to look at the Bible. I'd rather do something more fun. What are we to remember? We're to do everything for Jesus. His rule in our lives comes through these people. His blessing in our lives comes through these people. And it pleases him to speak for him, to do everything for him. So have we got any All Saints Club leaders? Do you want to come to the front? Come to the front and receive more crowns. Have we got more crowns? There's probably a few crowns lying around. Do get one on your foreheads. Now, can we get the picture here? Yes, we're doing lots of stuff with post-it notes and little hearts. Whatever we do, boys and girls, we're to do it for Jesus. And Jesus wants us to obey our parents. He wants us to learn about him in All Saints Club. He wants us to be blessed in learning things at school. But do we want to do that? Do we want to live for Jesus always? No, we want to live for me, don't we? But Jesus can help us. So we just pray now that the living Lord Jesus would help us to obey our parents, to be taught about him in Sunday school, All Saints Club, and to learn lots at school. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you and praise you that it's not by being good, not by obeying our parents, not by working hard, not by doing what our All Saints Club leaders tell us, that we're in your kingdom. But because we're in your family, we want to please you, Lord Jesus. So please help us to obey our parents, to do what our teachers tell us to do, and to learn about Jesus from our All Saints Club leaders, that we might be blessed to understand Jesus' love. And we pray this for his sake. Amen. Well, a big round of applause, not only for the children, but also for all our volunteers. Do go and take a seat. We got there. We got there. We got there. Well done. Now, we're going to sing a song now, and we're all going to join in this, because obviously these instructions that Paul gave were to a whole church family. So, and that was particularly aimed at those in primary school, and now we're going to have some time together for those beyond primary school. So, you might want to do something if you're in primary school just to occupy yourself. If you're at the top end of primary school, you might find this helpful. If the very little ones get out of control and too noisy, don't worry about it. We're really comfortable and relaxed about that. But if you feel uncomfortable, do use the quiet room at the back. Do be turning back with me to page 1184. Now, I don't know if you feel the pressure of modern life. Certainly, so many conversations I have with folk in the church family, and even somebody I was got chatting to at the gym the other day was talking about the pressures in modern life. They were sure it wasn't like this 30 years ago. And surely our society is moving in a direction where people are being reduced to numbers that can be measured and targets that can be quantified and reached. And in this environment, there is pressure for us all, isn't there? So a question that I want us to begin with as we think this morning. As Christians, how should we decide our priorities with so much pressure? And if we're just investigating Christian things, how can we survive the pressure? We maybe have friends and family who we know for whom the pressure has just got too much. Well, thankfully, Jesus said these words: if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus' teaching is to set us free, or as Ben was introducing the service, he comes to bring us rest in a life of pressure. Deep, soul deep, rest and freedom. See, there is freedom for all of us here this morning who are in Jesus Christ. And if we're investigating the Christian life, just see with me some of the freedom on offer. Now, the first point we're going to think about is this: do everything for the Lord Jesus with thanks in church and family. Have a look with me at verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is freedom. See, in the preceding verses, Paul has been saying how we're to gather together. We're to gather together in whatever way, in terms of the hymns and songs and the music we sing, or the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, with thankfulness, in word and deed, doing everything for the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thankful whatever we sing. Thankful whatever we hear of the Lord Jesus, as long as it is free from error. It doesn't need to be erudite. It doesn't matter if it's earthy. As long as it's true about Jesus, we are thankful. So whatever we do when we come to church, we're to be overflowing with thankfulness. That's what Paul has said is Christian solidity and maturity in chapter 2, verse 6. And we're to give thanks in the name of Jesus. Is his name not wonderful? A name which means God saves. Is that not wonderful? Does that not give us thankful hearts? We are in him. In the one who made all things. We are part of his body, the church. We have an inheritance. Heavenly glory. We're qualified already. We are in him. How could we not be thankful? We have Christ. And we can give thanks to him in his name. We are part of his family, as Jesus said. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. We're part of a family here, created by God, an unbreakable family. So part of being part of his body, the church, means that we are empowered to live in our other relationships. Now, we've seen, as I say, last week, how we're empowered by the life of Christ to live in marriage. And this morning we're going to think a bit about family. We've thought a bit about church. We're now going to think about family. Have a look with me at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. The whole church is to understand that parents are to raise obedient children. And if you're a parent here this morning, you will recognize what a great challenge that is. And if you're a child here this morning, we've already thought about what a great challenge that is. But let's just put it around the other way. Disobedience displeases the Lord. And it's easy to miss an assumption that Paul is making here. Have a look again at verse 20. Paul expects the children of believers to be able to please the Lord, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and want to please to live him, he anticipates that they will remain as Christians and believers as they grow up. Now we know that that's a complex thing, but that's Paul's expectation. And he says fathers are key. So he goes on, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. What does this mean? What does it mean for Christian fathers to embitter or discourage their children? Well, does it mean that whenever we ask them to do something they don't want to do and they get a bit discouraged and embittered about that, we say, oh, fine, do what you want? No, it can't mean that, can it? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul, in the parallel passage, says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. In other words, what's the opposite of being discouraged and embittered and exasperated as children? It's being brought up in the training and instruction of the Lord, who is a king of love. Now, there's so much that I could say on this, and I only have 10 minutes. So I can't say what needs to be said. But can I direct you to a wealth of books on the book table at the back, whether we're thinking about our role as parents or how to be a gospel-centered community, a community which supports this approach in family life, which is empowered by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we're blessed in the life that we can lead. Looking forward to heavenly glory, yes, but enjoying his blessing now. Because he's reconciled all things in heaven and on earth. But I thought I'd have a quick illustration. And I've asked Zoe if she'll come and help me with this. Now, please don't feel that I'm an expert father. I'm not. Zoe will tell you I've made lots of mistakes and I've had to say sorry and ask her forgiveness many times. But as we've been saying, actually my role as a father is to bring the rule and love of the Lord Jesus Christ into my family, then there's particular challenges, aren't there, as my children grow up. But I'm to make sure that I'm forgiving. That's the centre of the teaching of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? That as a father, I must be forgiving. But I must also expect Zoe, even as a 16-year-old, soon to be 17, to obey me. Why? Because I know that it's through the rule of the Lord Jesus and my will, love, shown to Zoe, that this, if it is God's will, may happen. She wants it for herself. Thank you, Zoe. Without the training and instruction of the Lord, what do I become? Well, it's just my rules rather than Christ's rules. When she leaves, then those rules are over. When she leaves home, those rules will be over. But if they're Christ's rules, they can go with her. If it's just my love, dependent on how well I think she's doing, well, that love wanes when she leaves home. But if it is Christ's love, and that's something she sees in me, then that is love that can remain with her till her dying day, long after I'm dead and gone. That's what Paul means here, I believe. Now, this is not to deny that mothers, or those married to those who aren't Christians, or single mums, cannot do this. Paul celebrates the faith that was in Lois, and in the grandmother Eunice, in Timothy, and his godly life as a church leader. So it's not that fathers only do this, but there is a creation pattern and order which God blesses and honours. So there you go. That's the Son setting us free in our life in him, in family life. There's much more to be said. And then just as I finish, the last 3 minutes. Secondly, serve the Lord Christ with all your heart. Have a look with me at verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Imagine you're going to work tomorrow morning. Would you see your boss as a representation of Christ's authority in your life? Well, perhaps the slaves didn't
Well, it's hard for them to see their masters as representations of the Lord Christ in their lives. And yet, Paul says, submit. Work for your masters. Obey them in everything. And not just when they're watching you. No, when they're not. In verse 21. Now, we've got to be careful here. There was a range of slavery in the ancient world between bond slaves, actual slavery, and slaves who really were employed and had huge power in the Roman Empire. But what Paul is saying to all is that we should be living for a heavenly reward in the workplace. And it's so easy, isn't it, to be working for a different kind of reward. I don't know, it might be money, or we get discouraged by the lack of money. It might be power, or we're demotivated by the lack of power. Or status, or we don't like the fact that we have a menial job. But what Paul is saying, no, we work for the reward that Christ gives us. Not for money or the lack of money, not for power or the lack of power, not for status or the lack of status. We are free to do everything for Jesus Christ, to work for him, knowing that we will be given a heavenly, unshakable inheritance as a reward. We will be there. We will be rewarded. So we're free to serve others. And if we're over others, chapter 4, verse 1, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master, a king in heaven. See, if our reward is from our heavenly master, whether we are employed or work voluntarily, whether our job is satisfying or not, whether we have power or weakness, whether we have status or we're menial, we can serve for the King of Kings. We can work for the one who fills heaven and earth. And this is not the opium of the people, as Marx said. It is the odium of the powerful. Because powerful people love to think that they can work for their own rewards and their own status and their own power. But Christian teaching says, no, even those in power will be judged. They're accountable. They have a master. So just as we close, who are we living for? Who are we living for in our family? Who are we living for in our work? See, priorities are actually far more simple than we often make them. I'm not suggesting that they're not complex and vexing. But what Paul says into a pressured world is that Christ comes first. Setting our minds on him. Working for him. Loving our spouse for him. Bringing up our children for him. Loving our parents for him. For he fills everything. Is everything. And in him we have everything. He is our priority, and so we are free. Free indeed. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we're so sorry that we lose sight of your greatness, your preeminence and priority in our lives. We're sorry that so many of our words and our deeds are not for you and not with thanksgiving. We're sorry that we so often work for rewards in this life rather than setting our hearts and minds on things above where you, our Lord and Master, are. Please forgive us. But we thank you for your mighty life in us. Please strengthen us. Strengthen us to live for you and speak for you in everything, at work, family, marriage, everything, Lord. And so to know the freedom that you have for us. And we pray this for your precious name's glory. Lord Jesus. Amen.